Vice grips.
Yeah, to make the connection. Very exciting.
We had a fast grip
on our connection to the planet, the greater Chicago nice. Area. So, Darren?
Was it a grounded signal then?
Hardly. So, okay.
You can just go, man. We're not even talking right now.
What? Are we on?
You're on.
I am? This water tastes really good.
Okay.
Trying this a little more? Well. Okay, I'm not working too hard at this.
How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
It's all right. Cool. Nice ride over. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I drove them over in my stoner fantasy, man.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason.
Yes.
Tell us what you do. Introduce yourself to the world.
My name's Jason, and I'm co-director of Blank Space Gallery in Oakland with my partner, Carrie Johnson. And we've been open about a year. We took over the gallery space that used to be Lucky Tackle from our friend Adam Rumpel, who at the tender age of 34 decided to retire from the gallery business.
Age of 34.
And so you've been there for a year?
For about a year, yeah.
Yeah. And what was the impetus for starting your space?
Well, my partner, who's also my girlfriend, we were living in East Oakland, and we lost our roommate. And at the same time, Adam was vacating Lucky Tackle, so we just decided to take over, start a gallery. Carrie is also, she works for the Oakland Art Gallery, so she is already heavily involved with all that stuff.
Now, you were already acquainted with that building, though.
It used to be, before it was a gallery, it was a studio space, and I was actually there a few years back. I had a studio there, so I seem to have a long history with that building.
The Lucky Tackle building.
Yeah. So.
And Darren?
Ah.
Introductions?
Well, okay, I'm Darren Jenkins, and I am the exhibitions director, or at least that's one of my many hats at 21 Grand, which has been in operation for 6 years now, a little while. And that's sort of long-lived for the East Bay art scene.
Yeah.
That's in quotes if you can't see that. Okay. It's myself and the programming director, Sarah Lockhart, and we keep things going as much as we can. We're on our third location right now.
You actually started at 21 Grand, and now you're
at 416 25th Street, right behind God's Gym.
So do you ever get tired of saying that, the right behind God's Gym?
I give it another year or two, yeah. And then perhaps I will be.
Will your exhaustion with the phrase somehow coincide with the end of your lease, or?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
You'll get tired of the phrase before the lease runs out.
I certainly hope so.
I hope so. So you've been going for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you describe what happened? Like, what made you decide to start an exhibition space?
Well, spending a lot of time out here, actually, in the Mission. Did a lot of volunteer work and some curation at the lab and at ATA.
They're both wearing ATA t-shirts, by the way.
Nice fashion choice, John.
No.
It actually was. They were talking on the phone on the way over.
And we decided against the NPR t-shirts.
So do you have a few goals? What are your goals over there at 21 Grand?
Our goals at 21 Grand right now is, wow, that's a good question.
I've been working on my question.
one of our big goals is deficit reduction right now, which, might sound really just kind of stuffy, and yes, it is. When it started, there were six of us involved, and it's quickly diminished down to three. And when you start something like this, a lot of the money comes out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
And so the majority of our deficit is actually to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like the institution, which, you know, I mean, now it's a nonprofit, it's established more. You know, we have some sort of cash flow back and forth. you know, I mean, and it's finally...
Would you describe it as a trickle? The occasional drip?
Well, it depends on what you contrast it to.
Sure.
You know?
Well,
if you contrast
your reference point, go
Well,
go
you know, I mean, if it's contrasted to yerba buena, it's definitely a trickle. You know, if it's contrasted to ATA, for example, it's, you know, we're relatively robust.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it all depends on what you contrast it to.
Yeah, but it, just according to, I mean, you're an artist. Sarah, an artist.
Yes.
And, I mean, you and Carrie are both artists.
Yep.
So, I mean, according to Artists Run Spaces, I mean, mm-hmm. I think the norm is that you just lose money. It becomes, like, part of your practice, in a way, until you can actually figure out either how to survive or how you get slightly more seen mm-hmm. or heard on the radar or even mm-hmm. on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, what do you do about that? How do you, I mean, it's, I would just assume the reference point is just for Artists Run Spaces because no Artists Run Space ever really wants to be, I think, Yerba Buena or something like that. I mean, that's the
No, but it could become New Langton.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, how far is that from Yerba Buena? I mean, you know, spatially it's pretty far, but that's about it.
Well, that yeah, I mean, you guys have a two-person infrastructure, like two-person staff.
Two-person and small board. Small board yeah. of directors. Yeah.
And you and Carrie are two of two?
We are two of two. And I don't know. I think, I mean, there's never really a goal to be, like, I mean, if we can get it to be self-sustaining, I think that's a pretty good goal for us. I mean, we're still pretty new, so I think a lot of the work right now is just trying to get people to know that we exist and to come and look at the shows and stuff like that. But
how do you do that?
That's what Carrie usually does.
now, right, she's really going to be with us right now because
she's at an opening right or at Misa's closing right now. So,
mm-hmm,
right. But Carrie, I mean, we function kind of a good tag team because she's really good at the administrative kind of pencil pushing and PR kind of stuff, and I'm really good at painting walls and.
Right, you're a scenic for a living in
yes.
in your other life, right?
Yeah.
So I heard in the Stoner Van.
Yep. But yeah, I'm more hands on with the artists doing the actual installing of the work, and Carrie usually does stuff like this.
Exactly. And so as a sort of the founder, director of, or co-director of your space, 21 mm-hmm. Grand, having been going for 6 years,
yeah.
What would you tell Jason right now, having been at it for 1 year, to do or to not do?
Bestow your wisdom.
Yeah. Please.
You're on the right track.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't be nice, Darren.
Well, seriously, you know, part of what's significant for the East Bay as it stands right now is the places that are able to survive.
Excuse me.
It's all that coffee. They have a diversified business model, so to speak. You know, I mean, so there's not a, you know, you're not relying on art sales or, you know, or the visual art to actually support you. Because the fine arts are not, you know, I mean, they're only so economically viable around here. So, you know, I mean.
Around here meaning Oakland.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think the Bay Area in general, it's a lot of people actually come here to kind of have a little more freedom away from, like, in a pressure that would be caused by, you know,
are you talking about
kind
artists?
Of economic attention that would, yeah, well,
or artists or collectors, or who are you speaking of?
There's not as much money going into the visual arts here as there seems to be other places. But
well, you have the good fortune of, you know, being a mixed use space, so you have lots of performance happening all the time, which gets people in to see the shows.
Certainly, yeah. We do end up having a larger audience for the visual arts shows just because of the amount of live events that we have going on. It's true.
And so, in terms of the wisdom of the ages to Jason, but what else would you say? He's doing the right thing by doing what? Continuing, just not giving up.
Continuing, not giving up. There's Blank Space focuses just as much on having some items for sale constantly that seem to get people biting that aren't really invested in the concept of fine art collection. You know, I mean, it's like limited edition bags, silkscreen things like that that. Might get some people interested that wouldn't get people interested in, I need to put this on my wall.
Yeah, we definitely, we have, okay. In addition to art shows, a small little storefront that caters to, handmade products and smaller editions of the artists to where, I can't afford this $5,000 sculpture, but, hey, that $100 drawing, it's definitely feasible. So it kind of trying to cater more to even to artists to start collecting stuff as opposed to just, people who live in the hills. But
so you try to cater to the people in the lowlands.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I just noticed actually Darren pulling out his screwdriver to tighten this mic stand.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you do all day long.
Oh, yeah.
$21,000.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
You need the lights re-aimed? Okay.
He doesn't stop.
You need, you need a little less treble on that? Okay.
More reverb, please?
No reverb. You got to bring your own reverb. Uh-uh.
Hey, so in terms of, I think it's really interesting to me the idea of how you can take an active role in shaping the perception of your space. In terms of, I think Blank Space is definitely, in my mind, more clearly an art venue, I think. And when I think of 21 Grand, I definitely think mixed use, but I also think that you, because you have
mixed.
A strong, sort of visual, in quotes, program of exhibitions, but you also have such an incredibly dense archive of performances.
Of live events.
Yeah, of live events. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Is that a conflict for you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a conflict at times. It's probably the largest conflict in just physical use of the space. There's a constant negotiation between what a live performer wants of the space and what the artist would want of the space. What the visual exhibition artist would want of the space. So there has to be a degree of compromise on both ends.
So do you mean that most artists that show with you wish that there was more focus just on the gallery portion of the programming?
No. I mean, it's
literally branded as a gallery only?
No, I think people that actually come our way are pretty clear on what the, what the identity and use of the space is, definitely. But sometimes it takes a little bit of extra discussion to actually make it exceptionally clear what that means for their art and how the space is going to be used around their art, so to speak.
And that there will be someone there to keep people from leaning on the paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, well, definitely.
During a show. It's pretty common in the sort of West Oakland warehouse shows.
It's not as common as you'd think. If you, it's, you know, I mean, part of it is giving pointers on, like, how to actually, you know, keep in mind that people are going to use the space differently. And, like, if you give them wall space to lean on, they won't lean on the art.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's generous.
Thinking about their thinking about people's traffic. Nice.
Yeah. And what about you over there at Blank Space, Mr. Byers? Do you guys focus so much on, like, how you're perceived or have special efforts in that direction or what?
Well, it's always kind of, given our location, we're part of the Art Murmur, but we're the northern outpost of all the other galleries, so it's a struggle to get people to kind of make their way up there, but it seems to be going all right.
Do we want to talk about the Art Murmur at all?
Actually, well, I think it's really interesting because I wonder if people think that it's as far to go to Blank Space than it is to go to 21 Grant from the Murmur, you know, which apparently people think of as 23rd and Telegraph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So I just wonder about, you know, him being at the end of this dark, scary 25th Street, you know, and you being up San Pablo and wondering, like, what, you know, I don't know how that works or whatever. I mean, I know that you guys get a lot of traffic at 21 Grant, but...
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we usually get people, excuse me, either on their way down or on their way back up from down where all the activities are going. But I think we generally get the people who want to look at art and not necessarily drink beer on the street and be part of, like, the scene or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get the serious people, I guess.
Serious people.
Yeah.
Good.
That's what we're all looking for, of course.
Hey, what happened, though? Who decided on this murmur part? Well, can't it just be like Art Walk or Oakland Art Thing or whatever? Why does it have to be a murmur?
Yeah, why does it have to be a murmur?
Yeah,
because it sounds like an REM album.
Yeah. Jesus. So this is
This
is like the East Bay version of a Hollywood remake, right? It's a known, marketed, it's a market tested.
Well, there is actually a degree of branding that is pretty intelligent, or, you know, or at least savvy when it comes down to it. Though it's interesting because it didn't really start that way, and I don't think it was ever really intended that way. But it's very easily marketed, especially with a name like that. But whose idea was it?
For the name? Murmur.
I think that was Amy at Rock, Paper, Scissors came up with that name, and everybody else at the time who had a voice and a vote in it liked it.
I'm going to have to talk to her.
Yeah.
So, what else? What do you guys... I mean, has it been good to feel like you're kind of... I mean, it seems like it's this unifying kind of...
I think it's excellent because, I mean, the East Bay always, you know, it's not known for galleries, and it kind of gets a bum rap to San Francisco. So I think it's good that all of us are kind of at least banding together and kind of, you know...
There's definitely a sense of community and sort of... creation of a scene, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are really commenting on how exciting it is to see things going on. When things were going on for quite a while beforehand anyway, but it brings it to people's attention that didn't know about it before.
Yeah, it definitely gets people looking. I think somehow it becomes a known quantity that now they can feel like there's room for them. They don't have to be this lone floater finding their way through uncharted territory, so they think. Hey, but who was actually, like, what was in operation when you first started? Like, what else was going on?
What was in operation? Well, 21 Grand kind of rolled out of participating in some things in, like, a little storefront space called 2310. So that was in operation. There was a spot up the street that is now part of Mama Buzz Cafe called Bing Gallery. It was short for half the sign of plumbing.
Uh-huh. And Ivan was in operation when I moved and ended up meeting you. Mm-hmm. I also met Ivan, and he was doing Papa Buzz.
Well, yeah, that he bought that, the business license and the rest of the lease, et cetera, from Tim Martinez, who was half of Justin Artifice, who started up Papa Buzz, which then was taken over by Jen Loy and Nicole Nedich. And the name was changed to Mama Buzz because they're ladies. That's pragmatically, yeah. You know, what else was in operation? The Red Door was in operation briefly, which is out in the 4001 building where Jason was living for a while out in East Oakland. Mm-hmm. At least, yeah. No, I think they opened and closed during the first year that 21 Grand was in operation. Trying to think where else was there. It'll all come back to me. There was the Sandcrawler warehouse space, which that building isn't there anymore. And that's it off the top of my head, you know, for the year.
Back then, right?
Well, there was no Art Murmur. There was, I don't think there were enough space. Yeah, there wasn't enough density or enough kind of communication. Things were sporadic and few and far between. You know, sort of seasonal, I guess, as spring through summer came along. You'd see people start doing things, and it was all, like, on the fly, very guerrilla, very underground. And it was hard to hear about everything because, you know, people were doing it, like, you know, as they say in the hood, on the down low. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, also at that point, it's, you know, there's much more activity that was fully offline, totally analog, flyer-based, word of mouth.
Yeah, there wasn't, the internet was still kind of finding a hold at that time period. I mean, you know, it was 2000, so, I mean, there was still kind of a stigma against it for the working-class bohemian, so to speak.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to feel like they were actually participating in some government scandal, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was still associated with, the internet was still associated at that time period, especially thanks to, you know, what was going on in the Mission right around then, with a mechanism of gentrification. So, you know, I mean, it still wasn't looked at as a viable, like, you know, and it really wasn't, you know, looked at as a viable way of creating a community communication for the sort of community that we were involved in.
Yeah. Hey, so we're running out of time. You have time to inform us of how to reach you, how to find out more about you, and also perhaps something to look for in the future at Blank Space?
We are on the web. It's blankspacegallery.com, and there you will see a list of upcoming events, future shows, and just general information about past exhibits and how to get in touch with us, and
And you have an event going on until 5 o'clock today at your space.
Today is the closing reception for Misaka, you know, I'm going to brutalize her name, Inoko.
Okay.
And it runs from 12 to 5, and it's a very good show. You should go check it out.
Are you having a closing brunch or something?
Yes, mm-hmm. The champagne mimosas.
And ask her about artist visas. I'm curious how that comes out.
Artist visas?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A little inside story, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us more about that?
Well, she sent out an email recently that she's looking for a lawyer that has worked with foreign artists, and she needs to renew her artist visa.
Oh,
yeah. Ooh. So if anybody knows any you know, any immigration lawyers that are willing to work with an artist, she needs one.
Okay.
Contact Blank Space.
Yeah, contact Blank Space.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a thought.
Where's this Frank guy? Where's Frank? Is he single? I don't know. Well, he has buttons. Anyway, Darren, how do people find you?
People find 21 Grand. Well, we are online. The website is 21 Grand, numeral 21 Grand, at or yeah, it's numeral21grand.org, O-R-G. And, you know, we have a calendar updated monthly. It's about 3 live events a week, so there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. We are at 416 25th Street, which cross street is Broadway, in Oakland, right north of downtown. And phone number is 510-444-7263. And things to look forward to. We have the Women Take Back the Noise 3-day noise festival. All women making noise. That's in December 8th through 10th. And then a full exhibition schedule for next year.
Well, it's already all full.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So, hey, I'm really sorry we didn't have more time because there's a world of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next time. So, yeah, good luck. Thanks for listening. 88.9 FM, Neighborhood Public Radio. You're listening to Frank Prattle for this half hour, a.k.a. Catch and Release, Big Game Hunters, Curators from Oakland. That's right, with Darren Jenkins from 21 Grand and Jason Byers from Blank Space. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.